Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to House Plans. Chris from County Bank Mortgage and JD from County Bank Mortgage here in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyers Broker Network, ready to take your calls, questions, and comments. We need them today, don't we,
fellas? Yes.
Let's get it on.
Glad to be back.
Right.
Vacations are over.
Yeah, vacations are over. Text line's open, 71307, that's 71307, or you can always hit us up on the toll-free call line, 866-442-7553. We'd love to hear from you today. If you got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a call. So the numbers are out, Keith.
They are, and they continue to be consistent with not only our predictions, but what we've seen over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, you're right.
Up a little.
Ever since January, we have turned the corner and caught up and staying ahead of the pace.
Yeah, very consistent. Up a little bit. Up year-to-date 2.3% in number of transactions and median price up 5.7.
Do you feel any of that is because of interest rates? In the decrease we've seen?
I think the decrease in interest rates probably going to show up next month. Now, why do I say that? It just seems to me some of my thoughts are anecdotal, which they shouldn't be. You know, it's just what my perception of the market
is. Does that mean they're made up?
Well, it means they're made up in my mind.
You're convinced they're true. But, you know, 78% of all statistics are made up on the spot. Just like that was.
That's probably true.
And half of those
but go ahead,
are on
Keith.
The internet.
Well, what I was saying is that it you guys, JD was talking before the show that everybody's buying a house. There's a flurry of activity. But statistically, it only shows a small increase.
Yeah.
A standard, typical, what we've seen in the last month. So your anecdotal data, the way it feels to you, statistically wasn't in the numbers. Now, maybe next.
Yeah, maybe so.
And of course, I think the big 2 months are July and August, or
June and July. I think the other thing, too, Keith, is in August you're kind of trying to finish off that purchase season, traditional purchase season, let me say that. And so if you see a lift next month, then I would agree with you. It could be that the reduction in interest rates have gotten some people to go, well, maybe
off the fence.
And instead of waiting until fourth quarter,
let's just do it.
Let's just get it on now, you know.
Well, I'm sure there's a little bit of that. Question is how much of
I was just sitting here thinking, and we haven't spoke specifically about inventory, but inventory, you know, up 4,900.
Up 1,000.
That's a lot. That's a big jump, which makes me think, maybe some of those local moves, let's get our house on the market and we're going to move before summer's out, you know. Because everybody I talk to thinks they're going to sell their house in 3 days.
Yeah.
And most do, by the way.
Yeah. At the right price point. But, you know, the trend is moving just a little bit in the other direction in terms of inventory. So the buzz, the conversation is it's probably going to be a little easier. And we've talked about it, a little bit easier.
Yeah.
For the buyers this year and particularly next year in terms of selection and inventory.
So,
last week we talked about number of housing starts reached.
Sure.
1,800.
Pre-downturn levels.
Which was pre-downturn level.
I think that was COs issued, is that
it
right?
It was.
Keith? So we're specifically in the Greenville market. The new construction had returned to where it was pre-downturn. I think the surprising thing about that, JD, was that it took 10 years for that to happen. So, when you look at when we came out of the downturn, you know, and of course we were very, very lucky because we came out much sooner than other people. I think, Keith, you said the date was somewhere
June of 11.
So it started to turn for Greenville. But think about that, JD. It took 10 years for the number of COs issued for the builders to get back to where they were pre-downturn.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I told Keith, Keith and I talked about this, and I'm sure you would agree too. If you go back and look at those COs that were issued, it'd be interesting to know what square footage and what price point.
Yeah, that's what I was
then
just about
versus
to say.
Now, because, you know, we've often talked about 2008, you know, or 2007, you've got 80-20 loans going on for people with 580 scores. Mm-hmm. And so they were building first-time homebuyer homes like hotcakes because there was an unlimited supply of buyers before the market, you know, went away. And then now, I think if you were to go look at what's out there, it's on the other end. It's the higher end of the first-time homebuyer and the move-up homebuyer.
And that's true up until this year. So now you're seeing the new builders bring on some lower price product, but primarily in the condo market.
Well, when you Well, that would make sense. So we do have the numbers, but most importantly, we're here to answer your questions, calls, and comments. If you've got one about buying, selling real estate, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout this morning. The text line is open, 71307. That's 71307. Or you can give us a shout, 866-442-7553. That's a toll-free number. Feel free to give us a call. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker. We'll be right back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with The Buyer's Broker. We are taking your texts and phone calls today. 866-442-7553 is the toll-free number. 71307 is the text line. We would love to hear from you. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a ring or shoot us a text today, and we'll be glad to talk about your topic. We do have our first caller on the line. We have Cindy from Greenville, who wants to talk about investment properties. Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. What can we help you with?
Well, I have the opportunity to buy a house.
Buy it.
It's a four-bedroom house in Malden. It would be investment property for me. And I can get it. For the house value is probably around $200,000. That may be a little conservative. I can get it for about $187,000. It's you know, a family divorce going on, and so I would get a little break on the house. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on investment property in this time period. I have great credit, so the interest rate would be really good. I put down about 25% to 30%. And I think that my income from the house should be, and I'm new to investment property, so yep. I've not done this before. But
yeah, I think that's a great question. The first thing I would say is do the math. So
right.
You need to know what comparable properties lease for in that area. And because it is your first investment property, it's a full-time job. So I would go ahead and find me a rental company, a management property management company that's going to handle it for you, and go ahead and have them tell you, hey, this is what we think the rent will be on this property. This is how long we think it would take to get it leased. And this is how much we would charge you. That would be something that I would want to know. And then the other thing I'd want to make sure that you do is the entire cash flow worksheet. So is the property now occupied as a primary residence?
Yes.
Okay, so when you do that property cash flow worksheet, the first thing you're going to know is the taxes, the property taxes are going to triple because it is going from, you know, being a primary discounted to a investment property. And
based on the assessed value of the sales price, by the way.
That's right. So it'll be the new sales price because we have point of sale.
Insurance will be up a little higher.
Yep. And then, J.D., talk a little bit about the loan. It sounds like Cindy has the right thing in mind to get the best deal on the loan. Putting 25% down on an investment property is certainly the way to go, right?
Yeah, and there's as far as a interest rate goes on an investment property, you're going to be anywhere between probably 4 and 4.5 or 4.75, depending on how much you put down. Putting down 40% is the perfect number. 25, you're still going to get a great deal. 20 is going to be pretty good. And then 15, you're going to get into a higher rate as well as PMI, private mortgage insurance, which would eat into that cash flow a little bit as well. So if you can put at least 25% down, that's perfect. 20% down will still get you a pretty good deal. And, you know, just make sure that you know what the property taxes are going to be as well as the insurance. And then you can just cash flow it out. And like Chris mentioned, I would encourage you to talk to a management company just to determine how much rent they think they can get for the property and what they would charge you. And then it's just a math equation to figure out, you know, if that's what you want to do or not.
Well, and
I think the location's good in Malden. I think it'll be good.
And I would say, you know, JD's experience, mine and JD's experience on this is we decided about a year and a half, 2 years ago, to turn our properties over to a management company because we were just busy. And the first thing that we realized on two of them is that we were way under market on the rent. We had had long-term tenants in those properties that were leaving. We needed to do some upgrades to the properties. And so I had talked to somebody that I was using on mine, and then I said, J.D., let's just talk to them. And when they called us back and said, well, you could get this rent on it, we were like, oh, come on. And it rented in about 4 days.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I think what Chris is talking about, and okay, he drilled down on the individual components of it, but in the big picture, you want to do the analysis on the investment property from a return on investment, return on your money. What kind of cash do I have in the deal? Look at your opportunity costs of what you're receiving for that cash. And when I said buy it early in the process,
sure,
I generally meant that because not only am I bullish on real estate in Greenville for the next 20 years, if you can buy something below market
today
and not be in a, where they're actually driving up the price, where you're making a little bit of what we would instant equity, for lack of a better term, then you probably should do the deal. But what you want to be the most important part of the whole transaction is doing the numbers up front, looking at it as an investment. Don't just see the equity, the $10,000-$15,000 you're going to gain at closing, because if the rental income isn't, and by the way, you can go from one section of the city to the other, take the same house, and rental income would be dramatically different. So getting actual numbers from a management company to calculate your estimated income, and then doing, Chris referred to it as a cash flow analysis, but you want to do the entire return on investment, including depreciation, vacancy, and management fees. And there are many things that people leave out when they're doing that optimistic view.
And if you need help with that, we can certainly help you with that. JD could help you with the loan as well as the cash flow because he does it all day long.
Okay, great.
And I hope we didn't scare you off. That was a lot of information.
We gave you three different perspectives. That's right.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, Cindy?
I think it's still a good opportunity for me.
And, sure.
Yep.
I am going to definitely contact if there's a property management company that you recommend. I would sure appreciate that.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, Cindy, shoot me an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and I'll be glad to share that information with you.
Okay, great. I'll do that right now.
Awesome.
Right.
Thanks, Cindy. We
Thanks,
appreciate
Cindy.
It.
Good
Thanks
luck.
For calling in.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Well, good. Well, listen, we got another caller on the line. Let's see. Is it Ned? Is that right?
Yeah, Ned in Columbia.
Hey, Ned, how are you?
I'm well. How are y'all this morning?
Fantastic.
My question this morning is, and I'm calling from Columbia, but my mother is getting ready to sell her home in Lawrence County, and I'm not too familiar with any recommended real estate agents in that area, and if y'all could recommend one or two or three I could interview and
sure, to sell.
Things I need to be aware of trying to help my mom sell her home.
Sure. Keith?
Yeah, that'd be
well,
great.
Well, I was going to say send JD an email.
That's the best way. Yeah.
And we will send you a couple of names. And our typically when this is posed to us, particularly out of market, what we do is look at the agents in that market that specialize in a particular. So if you'll send JD an email.
Yeah, ask just, JD at countybankmortgage.com.
With just some cursory numbers, this price point and this location.
Give us the address.
This is the address. We'll run a what we call an AVM on it, and JD will send you an email. We'll give you a couple of names, and then you can have that conversation.
So, Ned, what we would do in that case, if you'll send us that address, JD will pull a AVM type, you know, that'll give you some idea of the value. Of course, the AVM won't be able to tell the condition, but, you know, you'll get some idea of what things in that market are going for, and then also using Keith's relationships, we'll be able to look at that property and say, well, it's this type of property. We would recommend these three people be interviewed. And Keith, a lot of the properties in Lawrence, do they show up in the Greenville
they
MLS?
They do. In fact, it's part of our MLS. Yeah, so obviously, it's not a large geographical area. It's not as active as some other markets, but yes. And there is a Piedmont. Well, that's really closer to Rock Hill.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's a Greenwood as well, and sometimes that bleeds
overlaps.
Over.
Overlaps.
That's exactly right. And because our headquarters is down there, we know some great folks down there as well because, you know, like Jason McClendon and his group, you know, we've been doing business with them a long time in Greenwood, and they're solid. You know, he's got a solid group of agents for sure.
But yep, yeah, that's Ask JD. That's A-S-K-J-D. At countybankmortgage.com, C-O-U-N-T-Y, bankmortgage.com.
Okay, at countybankmortgage.com.
That's it.
Do you have any other questions, Ned?
Yeah, if she's had an appraisal done in the last year,
yes.
Is that still valid?
Well,
it won't be valid for lending purposes, but that would be an important component.
Yeah.
You would want to supply that to your agent so that they could look at it versus current data. Because, you know, things change,
they change
street by street, market by market. But it would be
a very
helpful tool. Square footage. You know, you want to validate all the information that's on there because, you know, it's not unusual for us to see somebody buy a house and they think it's 300 square feet larger or 300 square feet smaller than it is. You know, we've told the story on the air many times where JD purchased his house and nobody measured the house, and it turned out that it was 400 square feet larger than what everybody else thought it was. And of course, they went by the county records. And, of course, he ended up getting a good deal on the house because they didn't realize how big it was. So, you know, you want to validate all that information. And then, of course, things have changed over a year, but that's a very useful tool.
Okay, good. I can attach that to the email I send to
that'd be great.
Okay, so I got AskJD at countymortgagebank.com.
No, countybankmortgage.com.
Oh, County Bank Mortgage. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, Ned. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we did get two questions that came over the text line. So, Keith, the first one's up for you. It says, what is the proper way to go about securing first right of refusal on a home not currently on the market? Wow, that's an interesting one there.
Yeah, well, when I think of there are a couple of different ways, but the most useful way would really be just write a contract, put a couple of contingencies in there, do as much a negotiation as you can up front. You don't have to have a short-term closing date. You can have a long-term closing date.
Yeah, so the contract can say whatever.
Yeah, and so if you want something that's enforceable, then I would put a contract on it, right? Now, if you're just trying to create some way for you to be the first person to have the opportunity to negotiate, that's a different problem.
Sure.
The first right of refusal could, I don't know how you would attach that to the property because you're not really putting it under contract. If you're just wanting an opportunity to be the first person, most sellers would not entertain that because for obvious reasons.
May get in their way, what happens
when
if you're
selling a property, what you want is as many people looking at it as possible.
Sure.
and you want the market forces to determine what the highest and best use of it is.
Yeah, and to the first part of your comment, you don't, just because you write a contract, it doesn't mean you have to close in 30 days.
No.
You know, another thing you might consider, obviously I would talk to a real estate attorney, but you can do a contract for deed as well that says, if this, this, and this happen, then you're going to deed it to me. And so that would be a very good way to do it. And one of the advantages of doing it that way is that down the road, when you call JD and want that loan, JD can do it as a refi and not a purchase if you had a contract for deed on
yeah,
it, right?
We probably need a little more information to know exactly what you're trying to accomplish.
Yep, exactly right. Well, listen, we're going to head into, I think we're heading into our bottom of the hour break, guys.
Yeah, it's coming up in about a minute.
Yep. So anyway, but you know, to recap, I Cynthia, I got your email. Appreciate you sending that over. We'll definitely get back to you on Monday for sure, and hopefully we'll hear from Ned, who is looking for the agents down in Lawrence. Be glad to get you that as well. All you have to do is just shoot an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd. @countybankmortgage.com. We're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. If you've got a question or comment, you can shoot us or email or shoot us a text at 71307. And of course, the phone lines will remain open at 866-442-7553. We'll be back right after this break here talking on House Plans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Got about 30 minutes left in the show. Feel free to give us a text with your questions about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate. 71307. That's 71307. And, of course, you can always give us a shout at 866-442-7553. Well, when we came back from that break, JD, they were talking about Equity Saver. And I know with the refinance market being hot, maybe a good time for you to talk a little bit about what that is.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you this. You know, one of the things that you should do is consider refinancing right now. If you're paying anything north of really 4.25, 4.375 is probably worth taking a look at, depending on the type of loan, especially if you're paying private mortgage insurance. Either through an FHA loan or a conventional loan, you know, the easy way to do it, you can just send a quick email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Just let me know what your address is. Give me the terms of your loan, or just scan your mortgage statement. Just send me a copy of your mortgage statement, and we can just run some preliminary numbers and see if it would make sense. But the Equity Saver, Chris, is probably one of our most popular products. And basically, we can structure the loan with either no lender fees. So you refinance, and all you're going to have is just the attorney closing costs and possibly an appraisal. You know, Chris, I know you've probably seen it too. We've had a lot of deals where we are not required to order an appraisal and do that. We get what's called a property inspection waiver, which, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie have both been aggregating data for the last few years, and they may be comfortable with your property and the value that we're using when we run it through automation.
Yep.
You know, if you can refinance and avoid lender fees, and sometimes we can even do it and structure the deal to pay the appraiser and attorney fees as well. So, Keith, you can refinance with zero closing costs.
I'm done. I'm out.
How about that? Zero. So,
Keith, you need to borrow some money and go buy some.
You know, I was telling somebody this week, with interest rates the way they are, all of us should borrow as much as we can borrow.
Listen, you need to start building a real estate portfolio for Bennett.
I've been thinking about it, actually.
That's a great idea.
I'm bullish on real estate in Greenville.
AskJD@countybankmortgage.com. I will say this, Chris. Now, you, before we jump into
we got another text question.
Text question.
Go ahead.
One of your favorite loans, the VA Earl, those have been hot.
Yes, very, very hot. You know, there's some new restrictions on them from the standpoint of how long your current loan has to have been out there. But if you have a VA loan and...
I'd say 4% on those.
Yeah, 4% for sure. But if you've got a VA loan right now and it's been open at least 6 months, so you've made six payments... and you're over 210 days old on that loan from the standpoint of when was it made to now, there is no appraisal, there is no income verification, there's no employment verification. You have to be up to date and not been late in the last 6 months, and you can do what's called a IRL, interest rate reduction loan, and you get a discount on the funding fee, so it's only 0.5%. And then, of course, oftentimes on those, JD's able to structure it so that we pay some of the closing costs, if not all of the closing costs. Saw one deal come down the pipe this week where, you know, the customer said, look, I don't want any out of pocket, or I don't want my balance to go up. And so JD just structured it where, you know,
hey,
we're just going to pay everything for you. And, you know, they chose a little bit, maybe an eighth in rate to make that happen, but that's what they wanted, you know. And so... we were able to do it with no out of cost, and the balance didn't go up on the new loan.
Wow.
But no appraisal, and it's just what they call a IRL. It's a VA Streamline Refi. So if you have a VA loan right now, you know, and you're interested in looking, because those loans are guaranteed, the rates are even better than conventional.
4% or higher, you need to be taking a look, because you can get anywhere between 3.25 to 3.5. On those, and that's a 30-year. That's a 30-year
money, right?
Yeah, 30-year fixed. And not only that, Keith.
That's sweet.
You can do it with no closing costs.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Well, and one of the good things about that loan for the veteran is, you know, the VA is very concerned about the veteran being taken advantage of. So no matter where you get that type of loan, you have to be able to recoup all of your expenses of doing the loan in 36 months or less. But and oftentimes doing that equity saver, it's a non-issue. Actually, JD's, I remember JD's because I always have to look at those. I have to go make sure that they were structured properly and all that. And I noticed when I got to JD's, it said, number of months to recoup your costs, 0. And so I was like, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then I went back and looked at it, and JD had structured it as a...
We're saving you $200 a month, and it's costing you nothing.
Yeah, it was $200 a month and 0 fees at the table for the borrower. So, good deal all the way around.
As Chris Roberts would say, Keith, that's like somebody showing up on your doorstep on the first of every month for the next 30 years and handing you $200.
Have you sent, you remember Wayne Chancey down in the Low Country?
Yeah.
Yeah, is he on in your database? We need to contact him.
Yeah.
He's a veteran, and let him know. That's a sweet deal.
Yeah, it's the best thing going. It's my favorite loan, too. I always like loans that have no appraisals because you can't have no problem with that.
Yeah, that's sweet.
And no income or employment verification either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a deal.
Absolutely. No debt ratio because you don't get income. You know, it's just, are you up to date?
Are you up to date?
Has it been 6 months? And are you going to benefit from doing this refi? Can you recoup the cost? If you can't, then you can't do it. So, you know, that provides some safety to the veteran as well. Well, listen, we did have another great question about interest rates, and it says, if the Federal Reserve lowers interest rates, does my equity line payment go down? And as a general rule, equity lines are set up interest-only, JD, and also as a general rule, they are tied to some type of variable rate. It would be important to look at your note to see what variable rate, because it would not be unusual for it to be Bank of X's prime rate. It could be the particular bank you got it from, and they can adjust their prime rate as they see fit. They may trail the Fed by 6 months, you know. So also you may see in there, it's very, very common to see the Wall Street Journal prime rate. So that would be whatever the Wall Street Journal posts. So look at your note. That'll tell you what it's tied to. And then you also want to look and see how often does it change. Generally, it changes monthly on a HELOC. But the answer to the question is, as a general rule, I would say yes. If the Fed cuts rates, that's the short end of the curve. That would have an impact on prime, and then it would have an impact on your loan. So whatever they cut it by, you should see the same cut on your HELOC.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, taking that a little bit further, though, JD, how would that impact somebody who had a 3151 or a 7-1 ARM.
Well, and most of those were based on the LIBOR index.
Right.
And, you know, I had a lot of, I've had two or three questions this week about adjustable rate mortgages. Hey, I want to get myself into an ARM and that kind of thing. And it's very interesting right now. ARM rates are actually not as good as fixed rates, believe it or not.
Yeah, I priced two out this week for somebody, and you're exactly right. It was an eighth higher to get a 7-1 ARM than it was to do a 30-year fixed. And so I told the borrower, I said, you can do it if you want, but it doesn't make any sense. You know, why would you, you know, and of course the borrower was surprised. They were expecting a half a point better on the ARM. They, you know, a quarter to a half point in rate better, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The only difference I would say is if you've got jumbo, sometimes the jumbo ARMs will be just a little bit better than the conventional ARMs, but for my money, I'm taking the 30-year fixed right now.
Well, not only that, a lot of times you can get more premium with the fixed rates. And what I mean by that is at the same rate, we're going to be able to give you more lender credit on that type of deal with a fix as opposed to an ARM.
Yeah, because that has more value in the market. The other thing that is an interesting phenomenon going on right now, I was showing somebody the rates this week, and the premium, like you were talking about the premium was higher on a lower rate loan than a higher rate loan. They were
right.
At 4%, the premium was X, but at 4 1/8, it was actually lower.
Lower.
And so they were like, how could that be? And
I said, well, that's 4% bucket up.
That's right. It's because the investor or the market is trying to deliver that 4% rate because they've pre-committed it. And so, of course, that gives an advantage to the borrower. Yeah, they're able to get a...
That was a lot of mortgage lingo, that LIBOR and HELOC.
It is. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark from the Buyers Broker Network in the house, talking a little real estate. Got about 15 minutes left in the show. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, or you want to know what one of those acronyms we used in the last segment meant, you can give us
Keith,
a text.
Keith, straighten us out.
He's like, that sounded like the periodic table. What are y'all doing?
Exactly.
Earls.
And APRs Earls. And Earls and HELOCs. And, yeah.
And LIBORs and, yeah. So if you've got a question, you can hit us up on the text line 71307. That's 71307. Or you can give us a call 866-442-7553. We'd love to speak with you about any question you got about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate. So we were talking numbers a little earlier, guys, and we didn't get too deep into the weeds here, but as far as the month of June went, we had 1,390 transactions. Is that right?
Yep, 1,390.
Can you hold this way over there so I can see it? I don't have my reader.
We need to get Chris some readers.
I know. And then we did
1.2%.
Up 1.2%. So 1,390. And then year to date, we got, what does that say?
6,997 over 6,837, up 2.3%, which is exactly what Keith Clark, the buyer's broker, predicted. However, Keith predicted it for December the 31st.
And yes.
This is, last time I checked, this is July the 20th or whatever it is. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, one of the big concerns out there, Keith, is, you know, we've had this low inventory for a long time. And so now we're starting to see that inventory return. JD talked about it a little bit in the first segment, up based on homes year over year. So a 26% increase in inventory with almost 5,000 houses on the market. And the month supply of inventory at 4.7, but still very much a seller's market.
It is, and will continue to be. There is going to be some easing of buyers will have a little bit easier time, but not in the entry level, not in the first-time home buyer market. It continues to be very, very competitive. And my guess is it will continue to be. I don't see any end in sight for that particular segment of the market.
I love to hear that.
And we should say that there's a correlation with that market. And what we're seeing in the millennial demographic is that household formation is finally occurring at a rate that it should be with millennials. So they're moving out of the basement and into their own homes.
Well, and of course, JD brought up the point where we were doing the show prep that he's already seen some millennials that are in the move-up stage, right?
Yeah, yeah, I had talked to starting to have families, and they realize they bought too small.
Right.
I actually talked to two or three this week that we did loans for in the last 36 months, and all of them are starting to move up already. And these are people in their, you know, late 20s, I'd say, maybe early 30s at the oldest. Yeah, they're already looking to move up.
And you know, the millennials get a bad rap overall. But, half of them's thought pattern and career paths are in a very traditional configuration. But half of them have...
They think like you.
That's right. That's right. Put your head down and work hard.
Keith's that guy. Keith's turned into that guy who sits out in his chair in the front yard and yells at people when they drive by. Kids on bikes and people that drive too fast.
Yeah. When I learned of the terminology emerging adult,
it really threw
me off. Yeah, I know.
Emerging adult. I'm
not even sure what that means. But
yeah, and of course, one of the other things, Keith, that we continue to see that could be a little troublesome for people getting in the game is that the median house price continues to rise. Now,
if you
already own a house, you're loving it. But if you're trying to buy a house, you may not be loving it. And of course, the median price, I found this interesting, and I know it means more when you look at it year over year, but the median price in June alone was 220. But when you look at it year over year, we went from 203 in 18 to 215 in 19. So that's almost a 6% increase. That's kind of solid.
It's getting up there.
Yeah, it is.
And that's when you talk about appreciation, that's the same number.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about market appreciation, it's the median price year to date.
Sure.
Well, I've got there's a lender that sends out a report. It's a personalized just sold neighborhood report, and this is one of me and Chris's rental properties, and I found it very interesting when I started looking at these. You know, now I don't know what these houses, you know, are they fixed up, are they not, are they this, are they
condition
that?
Matters.
But when I'm looking at these sales prices, I'm kind of like, well, you can go ahead and put my house right along with some of these and I'll sell right now. I'm very surprised because this is just a little, you know, three bedroom, one bath.
Yeah, JD, though, if you sell at the top of the market, you got to buy at the top.
Not if it's investment. And then I don't know what that. Then I go under the JD Nelson. You can always buy, but you can't always
sell.
That's
true.
That's exactly right. Yep. Well, you know, one of the things that we've talked a lot about on the show is that our market tends to trail the Charleston market for some reason by about 6 months. And they got a little bit of a different thing going on down there. While their you know, sales are very strong, it's actually down year over year. If you look at the year-to-date numbers, 9201 sold in 19 and only 9386 in 18. So that they're down 2%. In the number of solds, which is quite interesting. But then the median price down there continues to rise up 4.6 year to date at, how you like this number, JD, 7.
Yeah, that's getting up there.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it's closer to the, I think the national average is in that mid-250s.
Yeah, I would think well, so as well.
I found this interesting. So back to this house that I was just telling you about, okay? So this is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, you know, probably a good first-time home buyer home, I guess. Anyway, so it has a list price and the sold price, okay? So let me just tell you, list price 142, sold price 138.5. List price 148, sold price 150.
Oh,
over.
Wow.
List price 144.9, sold price 143.9.
Yeah, well, Keith, there's no doubt that in that 150 price range, that there's heavy competition.
Yeah, but those houses, believe this or not, Chris, this is in the renovation areas. These are kind of in the midtown area between just inside the traffic pattern but not in the downtown market.
Yes.
And you're seeing a lot of flipping going on in those areas. And what's interesting to me is that the amount of flipping, even though our perception is there's a lot going on, there's still a ton of existing homes. We're going to have a speaker, I think, at the Board of Realtors for next month's luncheon.
Right.
And I generally don't participate in that, but the guy's going to speak on the Mill Villages. And I'm very interested in, because all the Mill Village houses are prime for flipping. I was on do y'all know where the Village of West Greenville is?
Yes, I do.
JD does.
I do.
JD,
you know where Shoeless Joe Jackson Park is?
Of course.
Yeah, yes. Been down there. Listen, if you've got a 13-year-old baseball player, you know.
But this is the west side, of the artsy section. Okay?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And when I say the artsy, I'm talking about the Asheville artsy.
Sure. Yeah.
Not the artsy downtown, but the artsy Asheville.
Not my favorite scene. Restaurant down there. Where I'm not going to call them out by name.
The hipsters hang. And, and it's kind of very, very hip.
Yeah, you can't walk on the sidewalk because you get run over by a skateboard.
Now you sound a little old there, Chris.
I am
go
old.
Down that road.
I am old,
in the front yards, waving their finger. So. Anyway, I actually,
but that market is very unique, JD. And I had a relocation client recently look at that market. So, and we looked at the entire perimeter.
Okay? I think
so
one of the challenges down there, Keith, would be that one bathroom that it has is going to be about 6 by 6 feet,
smaller than this booth,
and there's only going to be one.
Yeah.
So, I think that's one of the things, if you do go down there and do some flipping, you got to think hard about what you're going to do about that.
Oh, yeah, and it's not all it's cracked up to be, Chris.
Oh,
you know, there
sure.
are a lot of people in the game right now that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
So when you look at that property, you have to know how to evaluate it properly. And one of the first things you recognize in a flip is, when they built those houses, they didn't put a seal plate between the pier and the floor joists.
Sure.
And you've got, most of the time, you have to getting in underneath the house is no picnic because they dug out the foundation. You got to really understand what you're looking at.
Sure.
And the deflection in the flooring, and has it been shored up? So you can come in and paint and carpet, sheetrock, refinish the floors, but that's just the cosmetic elements of the house. And looking at the structure and the bones of the house and what you're going to – and, of course, the key to all this is when you're buying that, all that's going to show up on the inspection.
Sure.
So you don't want to put a house under contract, get excited about it, go down that road.
And then find out.
And then you get the inspection, and it's got knob and tube wiring, no seal plate, the floor joists are disintegrated, and many times in a flip I won't say many times, but sometimes you see that it has not been done correctly.
Well, I think it's important to know, when Mitchell was looking, great example, you look online at this house, and first of all, it's on a nice big lot. It looks a little too good to be true, but it is also a flip. You can tell by looking. It's apparent. Well, when you go out and look at it, what also becomes apparent is that instead of fixing the wood, they just painted the wood.
Yeah.
Instead of, correcting the floor, they just kind of tried to cover it up. Lipstick on a pig is what I would call it. And, why has this house been sitting here for 123 days? It's because when you go look at it, it's apparent that the flip wasn't done right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's always important, when you get down to the short list to go visit the property and really look, if it is a flip, what was the quality of what was done? What was the quality of the materials that were used? Did they use the cheapest thing available, or did they pick, you know, I'm not saying you can't use entry-level products, but there's still quality that can be found on those entry-level products.
Yeah, and
products.
A lot of times the people that buy those homes are first-time home buyers, by the way.
Yes. And
so you have to
scare everybody from going over there and buying.
Yeah, well, you got to get it inspected. Just because it's been renovated doesn't mean you can avoid the inspection.
Right.
And of course, Keith, you always recommend an inspection, even on new construction.
Yeah, and really, the key, Chris, is being able to evaluate the property before you make an offer.
Yeah,
not after you.
Now,
sign
JD,
a contract.
If somebody's got over a 4.25 rate or a VA over 4, tell them how to get in touch with you because now's the time.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just shoot me an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Would love to help you, and just a great time to take a look at refinancing for sure. Well, listen, you've been listening to House Plans, Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back next week here on House Plans.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.